Welcome in to the Monday edition. Robbie and Rexrode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I'm Joe Rexrode. Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie Stanley. I'm going to go headphone free today, Paul. I don't know about you, but I can't do the one ear thing,
man. It
won't
last.
Cannot do it. Well, I mean, when people call, I'm going to have to put it on, right? I mean, Nick, you're just going to have to, like, give me thumbs up or thumbs down or whatever, dude.
Joe, it's hot about the Lions, baby.
Maybe that's it.
No, that's not maybe.
Oh, that's it. That may be it. The Lions are, they are special. Robbie Rexrode, proudly sponsored by Chuck McDowell Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. I think it's a little more about just having functional equipment, you know? I don't think that's asking too much.
You don't have that any day, but you're never this upset.
You're talking about like, I've never done the show with one ear. I've never.
Really?
Never.
I've never done the show with two ears.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess I'm going to have to adapt. No, I've never done it, so this will be an interesting experience. There's always at least one in here, and I know people love to hear about equipment on the program at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
Game and phone text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. And tune in later this morning, 8:45, for your chance to participate in Preg's Pick to Click. Win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes, Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. So,
Nick is doing well on serving the Bismarck donut.
Yeah, how's the big Bismarck?
You're welcome. Bismarck. Very nice. Thank you very much.
Where's that from?
Dunkin' Donuts, because the place I usually go to that's more of a local establishment, apparently they're closed on Mondays, which I was very sad to see. That was kind of dumb.
The Dunkin' that I drive by on my way here is not even open.
They're right
at this hour. I've tried to bring donuts before for you people, but I don't see a tweet yet. So Nick's 50-50.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm bad about that too, so I'm going to have to get on the internet here. So the Super Bowl set is going to be Chiefs. It's going to be Niners.
I'm predicting a 10-point win for your Chiefs.
Yeah. The Chiefs are tough, man. The Chiefs are tough. And also, so today, like, a lot of takes. There's always takes. But, you know, the biggest takes that are going to emerge are the arguing over Brock Purdy either way, which I'm exhausted by. He's good. He's not great. He's good. You know, he did good stuff in the second half. He has big-time runs, for
ran
sure.
Really well.
Yeah. And, you know, Lamar Jackson, I know you're a non-believer. I'm more of a believer. I can't defend.
Nothing to believe in yesterday.
Yeah. I can't defend how he played in that game. Credit to the Chiefs. They've been really good on D all year. Steve Spagnuolo is an elite DC. But, like, and, you know, I don't think it's all on Lamar Jackson either. I think that, you know, their OC, Monken, who's been good this year.
Terrible.
They did not have answers for a lot of stuff. But
six carries for running backs in that game against the 28th rush defense.
And really, to me, not using him and putting them in conflict with zone read stuff or whatever. Like you got to use what you're good at. So, but at the same time, he's got to make quicker decisions. He's got to throw it better. He's got to not throw into, I mean, terrible pick in the end zone. It's not his fault that Zay Flowers fumbles it, you know, going in, and maybe the game's different. Yeah, maybe the game's different if that doesn't happen. But, hey, look, the Lamar haters are going to have a day today. And what do you say about Patrick Mahomes? Now, the Ravens stopped them over and over again in the second half to give themselves a day. But still, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, there's a sense of inevitability to me with that team. I'm never going to believe again in I don't care what happens in a regular season. I don't care. Just I don't believe it. Oh, Mahomes has to go on the road now. Yep. Okay. I don't buy it. I think we're about to see the cementing of what we would call a dynasty in a couple weeks.
He's in Brady territory too, in terms of it doesn't really matter that much what's around him if he's got one or two key things, really. Kelce being the key thing, and now a better defense. He's inevitable, it feels like. I wanted him not to be. I'm chiefed out. Not that I would have loved seeing the Ravens, but I'm chiefed out. You know, I read too many posts yesterday on Taylor Swift's potential travel itinerary from Japan to Las Vegas in order for her to play.
Too many posts?
17-hour, too many Twitter posts or whatever about how she could play 17 hours before the game, get back from Japan, and be in Las Vegas in time for kickoff. We're going to see plenty of that. Too many people complaining about seeing her, though. I mean, they don't show her that much. It's really a old man yelling at a cloud thing, which I'm guilty of sometimes, but not on this one.
So I'll tell you, so we went to, well, they did a great job. So shout out to Slider. You know Slider House?
Music Row? Terrific.
Okay. Yeah. Never been there. It's the official Detroit Lions bar. Went with a family and some friends there yesterday, and it was packed, and it was an amazing scene until it wasn't. But every time they showed her the bar, and I'm like, what? Why? Who cares? It's incredible. It's become like somehow the affront to football. You know that. Again. Like I said way back when this started happening, like every time I watch a Cowboys game, I have to watch Jerry Jones picking at his oatmeal in anger every play they don't make, or he's all happy. Like, what? Okay, if there's someone famous at a game, like, yeah, the cameras are going to find them. Or even Josh Dobbs quarterbacking for the Vikings this year, right? Every time he'd make a big play, they'd go to his parents, who were completely looked bored out of their minds, but it was just like, hey, Josh Dobbs' parents. Okay, like, this
CBS
is what happens.
CBS has the Super Bowl this year. They'll show a bunch of people in CBS shows. Oh, look, there's Timmy Flanagan, who stars in Fire Country.
Tuesdays at 9, sure. Yeah, this is not – but for whatever reason, she has become like the symbol of, I don't know, a threat to meatheaddom. I don't know, man.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it gets annoying too the other way. Yeah, I agree. It's like, okay, whatever. But – why is this so infuriating to people?
I was shocked. I read some stuff about the infrequency with which she's been shown.
Yeah, actually,
New York Times did a breakdown
like three times.
New York Times did a breakdown going into the game of how many times, and she's been shown like three times a game for like 21 seconds.
Well, that's the thing about yesterday is actually at one point, you know, I said to my daughter, I'm like, is she there? Because they haven't. And she's like, yeah, she's there. I'm like, okay. Well, she knew. But, like, it was a long time before they – yeah, I think they're actually trying to be, you know. When Travis Kelce makes an incredible TD catch, I actually want to see the reaction there. It's fun to see people –
yeah, me too.
You know, Jason Kelce and all them going nuts. I mean, yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about both of these games throughout. But Slider House, you know, what was it like for them to cart you out of there after this disaster?
Well, no, I mean, it was just I feel terrible for Detroit Lions fans. I mean, my brother, my brother-in-law, cousins, friends. I mean, it's been like text. Yeah, but he was with me. But I'm saying it's been like text therapy, you know, all that. And I'm sorry, like, I hate to be this guy, but this is why I got out, man. This is why I got out. You know, and it's just, I mean, this is an all-time Detroit sports choke job. And, I mean, to me, NFL playoff choke job. I mean, you're up 17. You have a chance to be up 17. Again, I'm going to get into some of this later because some of the excuse-making for Dan Campbell is incredible. But, yeah, look, they blew it. The 49ers get credit for coming back, too. Okay, what are we doing here?
We can hear you replaying. This is why I got out, man.
Joe, did you take off your headphones?
Hold on. Wait. We got to stop the show. I'm glad this is the first segment. We're listening to ourselves on delay right now.
Yeah, because someone doesn't have something
unplugged
unmuted.
Unplug those headphones.
Nope, still doesn't work.
Does someone's computer have the sound on?
Okay. I have no idea. This is great. This is going to be an all-time, you know.
Could have been me.
Put this in the – did you fix it there? Okay.
Maybe.
I can't explain that. How do you explain that?
I don't know. Maybe I have us on Twitter.
Oh, was that you on your computer?
Yeah. That definitely explains it.
God, Kaharsky, I tell you what. I was making a great point, too.
Continue.
I forget. I'll make a great point. Go ahead, make a great point.
Look, Dan Campbell did not have a good game and needs to stray from his philosophy a little bit given the context and the Super Bowl. The context and the stakes and all of that. But he's getting far too much of the blame here, and Josh Reynolds is completely off the hook for dropping a crucial third down pass in one of the fourth downs, which should have been an easy conversion. Gibbs is getting completely off the hook there for fumbling and handing the ball to San Francisco inside the 30.
I think that
the player execution was horrific in the second half.
Sure. No, I mean, both things can be true, right?
Yeah.
It's hard for
but
people.
I'm saying both things can be true, but America can't handle two things. You have to pick one and bash one guy, and America's picked Campbell. And so Josh Reynolds walked out of there last night sitting pretty. He's like, I'm off the hook because the coach went for it twice on fourth down, and so nobody's killing me. He was terrible.
Yeah. Well,
terrible.
It really, in particular, obviously the fourth down he drops, but
third down.
But the third down when it's tied, I mean, that's just a gimme. That's a much easier play. That's just a little cross where he's wide open. That's a perfect throw. Like you know, the fourth down, low. You have to
totally
make
catchable.
It. You have to make it. But the third down was like how? You know, the Gibbs fumble. That play, I looked like there was a little bit of a mix up on what they were doing there with the handoff. But
it still
goes on Gibbs. Yes. You know, either way, players botched it. Yeah, look.
They skated
last
night. The players skated.
Yeah, but, you know, it's – and I think maybe for me, some of my frustration is just – first of all, you can argue either way on the fourth downs. It's fine. I think it's clear, and I first guessed both of them, by the way. But I just I feel like with him and maybe this is just a generality that I see sometimes. I think people like him so much that they're too easy on him. People love the guy, and I get it. He's a very likable guy, and he's done a great job overall. Sure, and he's done a great job overall, and that type of mindset's key. But also, like, go back to that Dallas game. You freaking went three straight times on a two-point conversion. You had a great play. The refs botched it. And then what? What are you doing?
Kick.
It's just, you know, it's okay to call that out too. But you're right. The players botched it. And also, again, the Niners made plays. I mean, the Niners, I have my questions about their defense.
The front. And Chase
got
Young
beat up badly.
Was totally exposed yesterday.
He made one
that
play.
One Gibbs run, he jogged over there. He didn't do anything. No effort.
Yeah, he has not been at all what they hoped for. Bosa made a couple big plays, but, you know.
There's two linebackers that carry the deal. And if
yes,
you can split them up and throw over the middle, that's why they were converting third and 11s and third and 7s at a pretty good clip.
Absolutely. So we come back. We'll stick with these title games. Jaden, I see you on the line. You want to talk about the Lions? We will get you on next. More on the Super Bowl matchup. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. And on the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, we've got Jaden. Jaden, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Great.
Well, good. We got snowfall in Nashville, and we got probably, in my opinion, the most uninteresting Super Bowl happening in 2 weeks. But I just wanted to speak on the Dan Campbell front. So after the game, scrolling through Twitter, I just saw all sorts of stuff about Dan Campbell needs to get fired. Dan Campbell is incompetent. Dan Campbell this, Dan Campbell that. Listen, Paul, I heard you say something about his philosophy, and I know his philosophy all year has been go on fourth down, go on fourth down. Well, I think there is a point where you got to realize, hey, this is the game to get to the Super Bowl. Maybe kick the field goal. I think that should have probably went through his mind. Maybe it did. I know it went through his mind seconds before the first half ended, but in the other two that he did not kick the field goal, I think that was a not the best decision, but going back to his philosophy, that's what he believed. He trusted his offense. He trusted that they could do it. And I can't blame him for that, and I don't think he should get fired. So I think the slander for him getting fired is a bunch of nonsense, and I'll let y'all talk about it. Appreciate it.
You didn't see kinds of stuff saying that he needed to be fired. You saw one person saying he needed to be fired, and Jared Stillman can't go from Sunday night to 2 o'clock to 2 o'clock on Monday without getting attention. So he has to say something outrageous on Sunday night to garner some attention. So he says Dan Campbell has to be fired. It's ridiculous. You need to ignore it and not draw attention to it.
Is that what Jaden was referring to?
Yeah.
Did he say
that? Because who else would be dumb enough to say that Dan Campbell needs to be fired?
I've muted Jared Longo, so his tweet said he needs to be fired?
Yeah. You're not gonna get here. Just give the job to Ben Johnson because he can do it competently, whatever.
It's funny.
Absolutely moron.
I will tell you that two Lions fans, including my brother, said the same thing. Like, love Dan Campbell.
An over-emotional Lions fan is going to say it.
Yes.
A radio host who's supposed to tell people, like, a radio host's obligation is to calm crazy people down who are saying ridiculous things, I think, especially if you're not in the market.
Yeah, I mean, it is, I will say, yes, fire him because of that is stupid. The idea of he's about to lose Ben Johnson and then we're really going to find out about him. I mean, obviously there's no way in reality that an organization like the Lions would actually consider, hey, Dan, we love you, but you know what? Your offensive coordinator is more valuable than you. I do think that what Dan Campbell said to his team after the game, which is we may not get back here, good for him because he's right.
That's true.
It's, and that's the thing that's so tough about this. For Lions fans, let me just say this about these decisions. You can argue either way. I first guess both of them, okay? The first one, because the Niners are working hard, they get down the field, but you stop them, 14-point game. You get in position at you're looking at a 45-yard field goal. You know, Badgley, which I've never been able to say.
Badgley.
I don't think it's the G. Is it the G?
I think it's Badgley.
Whatever. Okay. Badgley has actually been very good this year. He's had ups and downs in his career. He's 8-for-10, 40-49. If you put him back down three scores after all their work, here's a kickoff, you're down three scores. I first guess that one. I understand it's easy to second guess when a play doesn't work. The second one, to tie the game in the fourth quarter.
Was the first one the Reynolds drop?
Yes. The second one, the play was.
I don't second guess that one.
The play was dead to rights.
Yes.
But here again, fourth and three or more. The Lions went for it in general on fourth down, 34% this year, most in this century. Like, it's, I mean, no one close. But fourth and three or more, they are 30%, okay? Now, I guess ESPN's analytics said in either case, it's basically a toss-up on, but you know, probability of a win, whatever you do, which, again, that's fine. And even if whatever side it favored, there's other factors in that number, obviously, right? But if we're going to go math on Badgley or whatever, 30% success rate on fourth and three or more. So 70% fail rate on fourth and three or more. Listen, that's all fine. If you want to argue for him and say that's who he is, it's not like you said, Paul. I mean, you got players not making plays and all that. But when you have third and goal inside their five, you have your three timeouts, and you freaking run the ball and pop a timeout, you have committed a coaching atrocity. And that's getting way too little attention because at the end, Brock Purdy's able to snap and yay and run around. Well, that's 40 seconds that you have to try to score a tying field goal. 40 seconds. You don't think that offense
had to throw
the
every snap.
You have to throw on two plays. If you get it or you throw on third down kick, you know, they went and they got it. You don't run the ball and kill one of your timeouts. That
forces
absolute
the onside kick, which has no chance whatsoever.
And you know, that's the thing. Would they? I mean, you still would have onside kicked it, but even if you do,
you can't. Kick has no chance. You've got to throw, either kick a field goal or score the touchdown, then kick deep with the three timeouts, count on a stop, get the ball back.
So there you go. So
that was terrible.
Yeah, like two onside kicks all year have worked. They actually almost got it, but that's the coach. That's where it's like, I mean, I guess that was Ben Johnson calling the play, but like Dan Campbell's got to be like, you can't run the ball right here. What are you talking about?
You can only run it if he gets in, and he didn't get in, so you can't run it. Here's the other thing.
Before you ever know what the play is, you cannot run the ball there. That is a coaching malpractice moment, and it's not getting nearly enough attention because the fourth down calls are getting all the attention.
Here's the other thing on the fourth down calls. Everybody's making it like he goes for it in every circumstance. He did kick once before the half. He paused. Yeah. He thought it through, and he kicked. So the idea that he never strays from his thing is false.
Right.
We saw him stray from his thing.
I mean, he's big on, it seems, you know, like fourth and five or less. He's a big, you know. But sometimes you just have to. You just really have to look at the situation of the game. And
I think he should have kicked it one of those two times.
Yeah. Honestly, and I've seen a lot of people say the second one to tie it, you know, like the, like you really, you know, you get a chance to tie a game in the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game. But I really thought the first one is a demoralizing thing for the Niners trying to make this run to make it to make it 17 again. So regardless, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, the Niners are the Niners are the best team in that NFC all year, right? I mean, now the Ravens went into their house and thumped them not long ago. So, you know, that's one game. I'm still so disappointed. Of all the things yesterday, I think the Ravens' just performance is so disappointing.
Well, the big thing here, I think, to get us a Super Bowl that's competitive is Shanahan having 2 weeks to come up with something here, because I think they're going to have to do some level of outfoxing, if you will, and solving Spags' defense to some degree to hang in this game. And that front did not get it done, has not looked good enough. They're going to have to do something different or to get some different results in order to hang in this game. That they're favored, to me, is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild to me too. You know, and Pacheco, you know, didn't have big numbers. He had a good start, but they were in second and six a lot. You know, second. I mean, I think that they're going to be able to have success doing that again. Zach in Nashville says, "Who's to say Ben Johnson would have made the same decision?" Well, that's true. We'll find out, right? I think we're going to find out. We're going to find out. Is Ben Johnson going to get it? Is he going to get the commander's
he's
job?
He's getting the commander's job, I would think.
So we're about to find out. We're about to find out about, you know, Dan Campbell without Ben Johnson, too.
Who's the logical successor for Minhouse? Do we know?
Logical successor for the
for
Lions?
Ben Johnson.
I have no idea. I mean, do they have a QB coach?
Texture people.
Well, I mean, it's early, man. You know, should I bother these people?
They haven't slept.
They're curled up in a ball right now, crying. I'll ask them later.
Their
staff. All right, we come back. We're gonna get into the Titans. Still much to discuss, and we got some staff movement going on with Brian Callahan coming up next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie Stanley, who just actually sent us the Preds pick to click standings. So very impressed with Robbie Stanley. Meanwhile, Nick Keyser not only brought donuts in, but he found me a headphone with two ears. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not kidding you. I mean, should I even say this out loud? Like, I'm going to find a secret hiding place for these after the show. And I'm just going to keep them in some.
I don't feel bad about that.
Like, maybe, what about like inside that helmet? What do you think? Would that work?
You're giving away your secret.
That was one of the dumbest things you've ever said. I'm going to find a secret hiding place. That's a good idea.
6 a.m.
I'm going to announce the secret hiding place.
6 a.m., man.
Also, it's a very small room. Nobody's going to have trouble finding your secret hiding place. And then finding their own secret hiding place outside the room, which would be much harder for you.
You know what his best secret is? He should just go buy his own headphones and then just put them in a case and go home.
I hear people say that, but apparently this place blows out one ear of every headphone, so I'm not going to get my own bought headphones screwed up.
Well, then you expense
that. You get something like mine.
What are yours like?
Yours have been perfect.
Mine are the studio headphones, yeah. These are made for this job.
Hmm. Well, we'll
how
see.
Much? Joe's a
about little, $90.
Little tight.
No, that's a little much, man. Yeah, that's a little much. Yeah, you know, a lot of tuition here. So we're gonna get into the Titans, but first of all, on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You want to get into the conversation? Jared from Spring Hill says, "Paul, you're the worst person on radio sometimes. Just crapping on other people to put yourself above others. Have respect for a fellow colleague, since you do the same thing Stillman does."
I do stupid things like call for Dan Campbell to be fired after he's taken the Lions the furthest they've been since 1957.
You know, the thing is, there are some things that you and Jared, you know, you actually share, you know, some, like, for example, I mean, you were the two most critical of Craig Aukerman in town, for example? You were really of like mind on Craig Aukerman?
We were both correct on that.
Sure. But I'm just saying, you are similar in some ways, but yes, Jared is a much more fire.
I never sit down and say, what can I write in a tweet that's going to get me huge attention and be outrageous? He sits down and does that a couple times a week.
Yes. So anyway, I'm glad that we didn't get Stilley versus Pauly. People were very upset about that Friday, but at least we're, you're getting after Stilley right now, which he'll hear in about an hour and a half as he's working out or doing a cameo for somebody. The Titans coaching staff. Actually, just catch me up, Paul. I know that you reported about, Tim Kelly, which is no surprise. Charles London? I thought maybe there was a chance that Charles London might be worked into retention here with the Titans, but that
Jonathan
is
Jones
not the case.
Of CBS had Charles London. I confirmed it. Stretch gone, which is another obvious one, as closely
he'll be
tied
with Vrabel.
To Mike Vrabel as anybody. others are out, just difficult to get. I can say, I think they made the vast majority of these calls on Friday, kind of a Friday news dump. And Frank Perino, the strength and conditioning coach, is not one of them at this point.
Not one of the staff members who's been let go, you're saying?
Yeah. Right. And it's my understanding that some of these staff members are having meetings with Callahan this week. So those
Which makes sense. I mean, that's the normal timeline.
Yeah. Those amount to, some level of interview for existing staff, for Callahan to get a better feel for those guys and see if he'd be interested in keeping them on his new staff, depending, again, on what kind of candidates he has for those positions himself. So, we'll find out more this week. Tony Dews is the new running back coach for the New York Jets. So there's one guy from the staff who's found himself a gig elsewhere.
Quite a migration from this staff to that staff here in the last couple
of
years.
Yeah, Robert Saleh loves Vrabel's staff. He finally got himself a good one off Vrabel's staff as opposed to the first two, Downing and Carter.
So that's an interesting comment there. I don't think Downing's a very good OC. I mean, I think
he's not a good play caller.
Yeah, exactly.
There is some talk that he's got some other skills that are desired.
Yeah, they value him. But Keith Carter, you think Keith Carter is a bad O-line coach?
He
was really good when they had better players.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was time for him to go here.
That's
when he went.
I don't disagree with that, but it's always like by the time he left, it's like, man, I mean, remember early on. Well, I actually remember early in 2019, it was like Keith Carter.
Got to go.
Because their offensive line was atrocious. Right. Juan's out.
Then he got players.
Saffold's not good early. Nate Davis isn't ready. The end of the year, they were probably the best offensive line in the NFL. Keith Carter, look at that work he did. I'm fascinated
2,000
by
yards.
That.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But
I'm with you. Nobody's a bigger proponent of, is the Vikings wide receiver coach the best wide receiver coach in the league, or does he have Justin Jefferson?
Right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Rob Moore here, I think he's a good coach, but Rob Moore looked a lot better when he had A.J. Brown, right?
Yeah.
So the question, by the way, so on these staff members, Tanner Engstrom, by the way, is the passing game coordinator for the Lions, as Zach pointed out. He's applying for other OC jobs. Meanwhile, with London not here, that tells me, I think it tells me that Callahan has – maybe a tandem in mind, or at least that particular job in mind, someone in mind, potentially. You buy that or no? Or is it just like, no, just clean start and let's go find someone better?
No, I would think he's got somebody in mind. And his first offensive coordinator candidate that we hear of, Nick Holtz, who is from Jacksonville, passing game coordinator
for the Jags.
Yeah. it's a Vrabel-esque kind of connection. You know, he worked for his dad for a year at Nebraska, and he was a teammate of his at De La Salle out in California. I don't want to jump to conclusions there. I just wish it came out in different order. You know, if this guy's a if there were a list of four offensive coordinator candidates and he was one of them, he'd be all right. That he's the first name that comes to mind. It's a teammate of his in high school.
Yeah.
Doesn't get me excited. Does it get you excited?
Well, look.
If we had problems with Vrabel bringing a bunch of guys from the Texans that he worked with, then we should question a college, high school teammate.
Yeah, but see, I never
we don't know much.
I never complain about that with Vrabel because I mean, to me, it's just make good choice. I mean, I have to trust you to not just bring people you like, but people that you worked with and you're like, that's a good coach. I know that's a good coach. And yeah, there's a loyalty thing and relationship thing. It matters too, but more importantly, you've been able to be around someone to see how competent they are, right?
Yeah.
So I've never cared about the hiring buddies thing. It's just, to me, there is something to how big is your network? How big is the pool? Do you get to the point where you're like, this guy was okay, but there's still the trust relationship. That's where I have a problem with it.
Right. Well, I hope the pool's bigger than your buddy from high school.
Yeah, but this guy, I mean, he's an, it's not like he's still in the high school, and then I'd have a problem with it. Or, you know, he's an offensive analyst in college football. I mean, he's got a job that would naturally elevate you to OC next, right?
Non-play calling OC, certainly. But, right. I'm not particularly impressed with Jacksonville's passing game. I think it's regressed. So, again, he's not the offensive coordinator, and maybe he's great. But I saw these things, and I was like, I wish the first name that surfaced was seemingly stronger.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm trying – is there somebody in mind that you – do you have someone in mind out there? Like, obviously, think about when Vrabel got hired, right? I mean, first of all, he tried to get Ryan Day, couldn't get Ryan Day. I guess Ryan Day had enough feeling maybe he'd be the Ohio State head coach at some point in the near future. But they sort of paired him with Matt LaFleur. But that was that's a good hire, right, on paper. That's a non-play calling OC for the hottest offense in the league, all that stuff. Is there somebody out there that you look at?
Well, I like Thomas Brown that way, but I think we've discussed this last week. Thomas Brown probably gets himself a play calling offensive coordinator job on one of these eight new staffs around the league, so could be difficult. Or if he's going to be available at that level, it probably would take some time, and he'd like to see, what his opportunities are somewhere else. That's a guy that's very intriguing to me.
Yeah.
This is not my expertise in terms of knowing who the quarterback coach is in, Minnesota or Detroit, who's up next for this kind of thing.
That's the thing. I mean, like Ben Johnson, for example, Anthony Lynn, it wasn't working out. They were bad. They were a bad team. He got some blame. Apparently Dan Campbell had a good feel there, but Ben Johnson was not even a natural progression there. And all of a sudden it's like, holy cow, this guy's really good. And also, they dominate people up front.
Right.
They have good players.
Nothing lower than a third rounder, I think, on their offensive line.
Three firsts and two thirds. Right. They are a great, for people who, and I get it, I mean, it's a great debate as we get moving toward draft time, and if the Titans have one of these receivers, it's like that would be receiver one in a lot of drafts. I get it, but investing and choosing correctly – and the offensive line works in the NFL.
But they've had a long time of high picks, so they've got both, the high draft pick offensive line, and they've got Jameson Williams, who I'm not incredibly impressed by. But
you can see it with him.
Yeah, and he's got the pedigree also, and is the first rounder who they took, injured. And were able to be patient with.
And they went high with Jahmyr Gibbs, which people ripped him. But there's another example, too, by the way, of, running back. But if you have a weapon like that, you can make the case for going high, getting that guy in a rookie deal, and knowing you have him for a while because he's that good.
Once in a while. There's
yeah, no, it's not often. But the across the board, you could never do that with a running back, I reject that. There are special players. I think we're going to see that with Bijan Robinson. Maybe not. I think
Raheem Morris, the offensive coordinator, is going to do different things with Bijan Robinson than Arthur Smith did.
Yeah. There's another OC candidate, by the way.
Yeah, he's interviewing somewhere. and I can't remember where.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Very interesting. All right, we come back. More on the Titans staff. How about the defensive side of the ball? Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie Stanley. I say your name, Paul Kaharsky.
It's Koo.
Do I not say Koo well enough?
No.
Paul Kaharsky.
Nick over there says it very well.
Yes.
Say it, Nick. Say
Paul Kaharsky.
Is that okay? That was enough? Kaharsky. That was enough of a coup?
Yeah.
Okay. I say cuh.
It's not enough of a, it either is or isn't.
Yeah, but okay, so one time we did like in fact, I think this was the conversation with Bill O'Brien when he was the Texans coach that you pissed him off so much he hung up on us. I think it was. But I remember
I didn't know anybody else was on the line because nobody else spoke. I thought it was me and him.
I think there were a few of us in that room, right? Am I wrong?
I wasn't
that?
In the room. I
think
were
you
it
doing
was
it
a
home?
Call-in.
Okay. Well, anyway, you said, yeah, this is Paul Kaharsky. I'm like, oh, that's how you say his last name?
I don't know that I said it that
it was
way.
It was pretty dramatic.
I think that's some embellishment by you, which is good for radio, but inaccurate.
It might be. Good neighbor, at DJs and Oliver says, I'd like to remind Joe of his previous comments. Quote, no matter what happens in this game, this Lions run has been remarkable, end quote. That was me last week. And I said, that is true. Also true, this was an amazing collapse and historically quite on brand for the Detroit Lions. So, good run, Lions. And, boy.
America's
terrible
at two things, Candy.
We'll see when you get back there. Yes. I think people are in general, but maybe especially this country. All right, so
I was over in England during the season, and I talked.
They're
to
good.
I sat down with some people and had this very discussion about two things can be true. And
they love two things.
Cheerio,
being true.
Two things, absolutely.
Yeah, we are very one thing here in this country. So the Titans staff, we've talked about OC, and that's obviously the focus. Offense. As Zach points out, Nick Holtz could go the run right. He's interviewed for OC. They get someone, quote-unquote, better, or someone they like better, and he ends up being the QB coach. That's a possibility, right?
Possibility, for sure.
So, I think we're going to see more info emerging on candidates there. But defensively, what do we know? We have one person that they've interviewed for DC.
Denard Wilson of the Ravens, who is also on the radar of the Rams and the Giants. And he's been with Philadelphia, the Jets, and the Rams. Interestingly, started out scouting with the Bears. So he has some scouting history. He's worked with a ton of great defensive backs. So this is another thing. You know, how much did he help these defensive backs, and how much did he luck into jobs where they had great defensive backs? But I've heard from outside the building that they're really hot on Denard Wilson. Other names that make sense that are connected to Brian Callahan. He worked with Wink Martindale in Denver. Wink Martindale has been a very good defensive coordinator. He's a blitzing guy. Brian Callahan worked with him in Denver, overlapped with him in Denver. James Betcher, who was once a candidate for Mike Vrabel to be defensive coordinator, is the Cincinnati linebacker coach, so Callahan's been working with him. And Jim Leonard, who we talked about last week, who's currently an analyst at Illinois for Brent Bielema, played for Denver while Brian Callahan was not high-level assistant in Denver.
Yeah, the Jim Leonard thing is really interesting. I mean, he was so close, I feel like, to some really significant job.
It's like the next hot thing.
Yes, and then all of a sudden,
what took him down?
Well, that's what I don't totally understand. I mean, basically, the thing is, first of all, there was some talk that maybe he'd get the Wisconsin job.
Was he interim?
Where he starred. Yeah, he was the interim coach. Yeah, and of course, he was their DC for several years. But there were a lot of people. He was linked to a lot of jobs there for a while. But he's also a guy who. And he had a long NFL career, but he has not coached in the NFL at all.
But then did he maybe take the the analyst job just thinking, like, better stuff will come for me in a year?
Probably.
He's
a Bielema guy. You know, he played for Bielema.
Is he being mentioned in any college situations?
You know,
college situations
I don't know of any, but that's strange because he's been very highly thought of. I like.
Maybe he shows up if he's not the defensive coordinator. Maybe he shows up like as a linebacker coach.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's possible. I mean, so basically, we know about who do we not know about in terms of, as you said earlier, there's more talk, there's more conversations this week that basically interviews Callahan talking to whatever you want to call it, an interview or just a conversation with current staff members. Now, Chris Harris has had interest from outside here.
Chris Harris and Terrell Williams both interviewed for Chicago's defensive coordinator job. They did not get it. Neither of them.
And that's
obviously.
It. That's the only known interest.
Shane
for
Bowen
both.
Interviewed at Jacksonville.
Right. Didn't get that. That's been filled.
Tony Dews interviewed with the Giants before he interviewed with the Jets. I think that's it, but I'm not positive.
So I like, I mean, look, I like the idea. I mean, look, if you got someone young who's a rising coach and you believe in that coach, great. I do like the idea of like a Wink Martindale type, someone more of a veteran who has had high level success as a DC. But maybe that's just my own presumption about like a Brian Callahan, you know, and I say a Brian Callahan, the model of coach, which is, you know, the offense is your baby. You're calling the plays, so you need a separate CEO. Not that Brian Callahan isn't going to be on the headset during games talking to the defensive staff as well, but
head coach defense type.
Yes. Am I overplaying that?
No, I tend to lean that way as well. But I want him to get the best guy possible. But Wink Martindale seems like an interesting guy. The reason he's on the market is because he fought with Brian Daboll in a very aggressive way.
Or yeah.
Screamed him down in a meeting.
There's also apparently Daboll unloaded on him and his staff all the time in the practice. You know, so a lot of yelling.
Ugly situation. And stuff that usually stays behind the scenes that became very public. I think a lot of people are intrigued by the style of play he brings. Like, the Titans have counted on pressure from their front four, and it hasn't delivered consistently enough, and we don't know who's going to be necessarily all of that front four, though certainly Landry's under contract, Simmons is under contract, Key's under contract. Three of them are going to be back. The question mark's Danico Autry, who's not under contract come early March. But, you know, what style of player are they going to have there? How much do they want to blitz? You want pressure at all costs. Wink Martindale seems to be a pressure at all costs kind of guy. I think that's the way the league is moving generally, unless you're against one of the phenomenal quarterbacks who's going to make you suffer if you blitz. You know, the division's filled with young quarterbacks now who I don't know are at that point that they're going to make you suffer if you blitz. And I think Wink Martindale's smart enough to dial it up and down according to the matchup.
You can't be, I mean, you still have to high pressure rate, but you still have to be unpredictable. I still remember was it 18, right? It was Vrabel's first year. Dean Pease, you know, and then the Ravens, whatever, they carried Wink Martindale upfield. Not really, but it was like, Wink, you know, that was one of the most dominant performances against the Titans I've seen. 21-0. I mean, they couldn't breathe in that game.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, too. But he's been very good.
I mean,
good,
that's the kind of notch on his resume you think about when you're considering the guy from a Titans perspective.
All right, we come back. We are going to get into the player side, player acquisition in particular. This setup, what do we think of this setup? What kind of thoughts does PK have?
I think we have differing opinions on the meaning of final say on the 53.
I think we do, so maybe we'll argue. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.